start with you. Welcome.
Thank you, Clarence.
I am familiar with your organization and very chuffed with what you are doing. And I think maybe the first question will talk to who you are serving. Maybe you should tell us about that reality faced by people in low-income communities.
Yes, I think one of the let's go back to one of the studies that was recently done, which was released in April, where they actually found that too many people were dying waiting for an ambulance. Now, we are living in the community, we're part of the community, and we've got the skills to assist the community. So with that, we actually, as far back as 1998, then actually decided that we're going to help the communities in which we reside. So we've seen a significant impact. We actually managed 21,440 calls just from 2018. Wow. And what we are doing is we're trying to assist those people. And initially the objective was to, you know, assist those that could not afford medical care. And if you look at the Western Cape stats, especially from Stats SA, only 16% of the population are on a medical aid. But what we found is that because of the burden placed on the ambulance services, even those with medical aids cannot always get the assistance in time. So as we reside within the community, we are able to actually get to the patient, stabilize the patient whilst we await the ambulance service. And it has a twofold objective, actually, because number one is the stabilization of the patient. But in a lot of times, we can actually resolve that patient's condition, that they could actually then go just visit a GP and not overburden the state resources. So in those cases, about 80% of the calls that we do on behalf of the Western Cape Government EMS, we're actually able to stand down that resource, and then it can be allocated to another patient that is in critical need.
Yeah, and there's a reason why you can get to people that need help a lot faster than others. Maybe you should tell us where and when you get involved. And you also have trained personnel in communities that can respond a lot quicker.
Absolutely. So if you look at a paper that was issued by the World Health Organization, and that actually came out a couple of years ago, they talked about a tier one and a tier two response. And what they're saying is that your tier two response is a professional ambulance service. But what they found is, we just talked about it now, where you don't get an ambulance quick enough, is actually to focus more on tier one responses. And that is your lay responder that can actually, as he's in the community, he can then respond to the call. So we as community medics, I think we're actually one of the first in the country that have actually implemented a tier one and a tier two response. So if you just want to follow the chain, when a person contacts our dispatch, and especially let's take a very serious call such as a cardiac arrest, when the person phones us, we immediately capture it onto our computer-aided dispatch system. That takes all of 30 seconds. We hit the button. It actually then goes and pages all our responders in that geographical area. And whilst we then contact the ambulance provider, we've already got our first responder that's on his way. So that is your tier one response, where they can go there. And they've got enough information and enough training to initiate CPR, manage a choking algorithm, you know, stop a bleed. And once we've got that in place, our response vehicles, which may be at a slightly further distance, would then respond to that particular call and would be able to then back up that lay responder.
I think a lot of us would understand the golden hour and its importance, but maybe there are people that don't understand the need for a quick response in the instance of a medical emergency.
Absolutely. So you've actually just said it. You mentioned the golden hour. And the golden hour is related more to trauma calls. Whereas if you take a CPR call, a person that is now in cardiac arrest, a patient is losing about 10% chance of survivability every minute.
So you don't have an hour.
So you don't have an hour. You don't even have 10 minutes.
Gotcha.
So we need to be on scene within that 3 to 5 minute period. And our average on CPR calls is we get to the call usually at 4.3 minutes, which is our average from all the CPR calls which we've done, which is quite a few. And then also another thing to also realize is that, you know, when a person's having cardiac arrest, the most predominant rhythm within that first 3 to 5 minutes is actually ventricular fibrillation, which means that's a shockable rhythm. And you want to actually start shocking that patient to see if you can actually unscramble the heart's rhythm at that moment in time and put it back into a normal sinus rhythm. And if you don't get that going within the first 3 to 5 minutes, you know, the chances become significantly less. And then also on the early CPR, as we mentioned about, Clarence, you just mentioned about having that quick response. You know, we literally have that as soon as you start early CPR, you're actually changing the survivability time. So where I said you lose 10% every minute, if you start early CPR, it's actually only 3 to 5%. So you actually double that chance, that person's chances to actually survive a cardiac arrest.
And ultimately, I guess it's for all of us to acquaint ourselves with that basic kind of skills to enable the life of those nearest and dearest to us.
Absolutely. So everybody believes that EMS is the savior that's going to come and save the patient. But as I think it's becoming quite clear now, if you don't have that immediate early intervention, then that patient's chances of survivability becomes far less. Doesn't matter how much equipment and how much drugs we bring to that scene. If you haven't started the basics, that patient does not survive.
Kevin Jones is the CEO of Community Medics. He's one of our guests. Blake Grace is the CEO of Ventria Life Saving Equipment. I think he's the defibrillator man. He's the one that's going to enable us to be shocked back into life. We're going to chat with him in a short while. Jackie from the DiskM Foundation, doing absolutely amazing work. And again, Kevin, you are a non-profit organization. It's tough out there.
You know, so being a non-profit organization, we purely rely on donations. And if you look at all the causes out there, I mean, there are so many worthy causes, and to compete against such worthy organizations becomes extremely difficult. So, you know, for the person that obviously knows that Community Medics is the organization they should be donating to, it makes their second choice very difficult. But, you know, with organizations like the DiskM Foundation, I mean, they came in and assisted us, and it started a couple of years ago. And, you know, that takes care of our consumables, which is what we use the most on a scene. And then when I talked about that early defibrillation, I mean, Blake and his company Ventria also came to the party, donated us 2 of the AEDs, the automated external defibrillators. They supply the pads for it. And, you know, these should actually be in all big shopping centers, wherever there's a gathering of people. You want this device because even though we say that we can get there relatively quickly within the first 3 to 4 minutes in a cardiac arrest, you know, you actually want the layperson already attaching that defibrillator and pushing the shock button.
I'm gonna speak to Blake in a short. I want that at home because sometimes it's really difficult for me to get up in the morning with that help. But I want to turn first to Jackie from the DiskM Foundation. Just having had that experience last year and the kind of organizations that you associate with does just make medical care and life-saving medical care accessible to people that need it most. How does the DiskM Foundation enable Community Medics to do their important work?
Good morning. Thank you, Clarence. So as Kevin's just explained to you, we assist them mainly with consumables, which are vital to life saving. And we're about caring for our communities, and Community Medics do such a phenomenal job of doing that. So the DiskM Foundation is the direct beneficiary of DiskM. So every time our loyal customers swipe their benefits card, we are the recipients of a percentage, which allows us to then fund such organizations.
Okay, so I'm glad that I'm contributing to that as well.
Thank you so much.
Okay, and I would imagine there's just so much needs.
It's a bottomless pit.
Yeah.
And we're able to do so much for which you're grateful for, but it's still a bottomless pit.
Absolutely, and again, what Mowbray Motility is doing for some of the poorest of individuals in this particular city is absolutely amazing. So too, what Kevin Jones and his Community Medics are doing. Let's go to Blake Ray, CEO of Ventria Life Saving Equipment. I would imagine a defibrillator requires skills.
Morning. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I think it's probably one of the biggest misconceptions is, you know, we talk about sudden cardiac arrest, which is the leading cause of out-of-hospital death globally, a leading cause of death in South Africa as well. And our biggest problem in South Africa is lack of education. You go around the world and you see these devices on the streets, in public transport, in malls, as Kevin mentioned, in organizations, and our AED adoption rate in South Africa is dismal, to be honest. And these devices are designed for anybody to use in the event of cardiac arrest.
So I can have it at home as well?
Yeah.
I've got my aging parents living with me, for example.
Through COVID, we sold lots of AEDs to for personal use.
Makes sense.
after COVID, there's been a 140% increase of out-of-hospital cardiac arrest, so it's substantial. And we came across Kevin and the Dis-Chem Foundation because Dis-Chem as an organization, they are what we'd consider heart-safe. They're a heart-safe organization, so they've got AEDs. They've actually saved a number of lives as well. Mm. And Jackie introduced us to Kevin. And
great.
Yeah. And yeah. Kevin saved a number of lives as well with AEDs.
I have absolutely no doubt. Mm. And it is that ecosystem that Kevin requires that Dis-Chem Foundation is facilitating for. So we are giving away some of your products today. What equipment, apart from the defibrillators, do you supply community medics with?
We do the EMS bags. It's elite bags. Really, really great emergency service bags. We also supply them with a life pad, which is a CPR feedback device. It's really, really important when you're doing CPR that you're getting the correct compression depth, and that assists you making sure that you're getting the correct compression depth at the right rate. And there's also a really neat product called a LifeVac, which is a choking rescue device. Like sudden cardiac arrest in a choking emergency, if it's a complete obstruction and your current choking protocol fails, this is a device designed to remove the obstruction. So,
and that's the life-saving little package that you're giving away today as well.
The LifeVac, yeah, they're really great.
Let's go to Kevin. So in the absence of a defibrillator, I guess CPR would be required.
Absolutely. So what we teach is that you've got two types of patients. You've got a conscious patient and an unconscious patient. You've got two types of unconscious patients. They're either breathing or they're not breathing.
Sure.
And if they're unconscious and breathing, we just put them lateral. But what we're trying to teach the layperson is don't think about this too much. If the patient is unconscious, if the patient is not breathing, you immediately initiate the CPR.
Okay. Now, you said you were going to give us some demonstration about that CPR thing.
Yes, that CPR thing comes in the form of Annie, who's sitting behind me or lying behind me.
Can we put Annie onto the desk over here?
We can do.
Can we just, and I'm going to try and explain exactly what Kevin's doing. So it's a skill that we can maybe apply if we have to, if we really need to. God forbid that we need to, then we know that we have the skill. Okay, so can you maybe talk to the exercise? You'll probably be able to talk to it better than me.
Right, so what we were initially saying is that we don't want to think about this. So what we want to do is as soon as you've verified that your patient is unconscious and not breathing, that is the indication that we're going to go to CPR. We want to start the CPR within about a minute. So as soon as a patient grabs his chest, falls to the ground, you see they're unconscious, you see they're not breathing, you're immediately going to go.
Do you assume it's a heart attack?
We it doesn't matter.
Okay.
So the bottom line is if the patient's not breathing but does have a pulse, after a couple of seconds they're not going to have a pulse anyway because they work hand in hand.
Sure.
So what you want to do is you want to get your patient onto a hard surface. So we do know that you see on the hospitals, you'll see them doing CPR on the bed. Remember, those are specific CPR beds. So they're actually designed. You pull a handle and it brings a board up. But what you want to be doing is taking the patient off the bed. You want to get them onto the floor. You then want to be exposing the chest.
Off the bed, onto the floor, hard surface, expose the chest.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not as dignified. If you're one person, sometimes it's grabbing the legs. Just make sure that the head doesn't bump the ground too hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, you're sitting with a head injury as well.
This is not about dignity, is it? It's about saving a life.
This is about saving a life.
And but in public, you've got to be mindful.
Exactly. And what is also very important is that as I'm saying it, if people just take note of what is being said, they will be able to do effective CPR the next time if they just remember the steps. So what we're going to do is from there, we're just going to find our landmarks. So you locate the two nipples. You move your fingers inwards until you get to the hard bone, which we call the sternum. And that is going to be your landmark.
Yes.
You're then going to take the palm of your hand and you're going to put it directly onto the sternum, which is directly between the two nipples.
That's your right hand. Is that your strongest hand at the bottom?
So we often find when we do CPR, they get very tired very quickly, so we actually alternate.
Okay.
But start off with your strongest hand.
Okay.
And then what you want to be doing is you want to be going directly, well, get as close to the patient as possible so that you actually move your legs towards. Do you not want me on the ground? It's probably going to be easier.
No, I want to see it.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you're going to then go right next to the patient, and you're going to be directly above the patient. Just going to move this quickly.
Yeah. So your arms are nearly vertical, right?
They directly over the sternum. Yes. So my shoulders will be directly above the sternum. I'm going to lock my elbows. So we don't want actual to be any flexion in your arms. You want them locked. Your palm of your hand is directly over where it's meant to be, and then you're going to push down hard and you're going to push down fast. So we want to get about 100 compressions a minute, between 100 and 120, and we want to be doing about a third of the diameter of the chest, so that's 5 to 6 centimeters.
Okay.
And then we're just going to push hard and we're going to push fast. If you are a singer, then Staying Alive is a good song to be singing to, because that's the exact same rhythm that we want. Or alternatively, if you're more modern... Staying alive. The other thing you can do is, and especially for the younger generation like myself, then you may actually want to go over to something like Baby Shark, which is also exactly, which is also the same rhythm. But you know, the bottom line is
when okay, give us the Baby Shark version then.
Well, we've got to go from Baby Shark to Mother Shark to Daddy Shark. It's going to be long, and I see you've got a sound engineer over there that could find it very quickly. So the bottom line is that when you're doing the compressions and it's your first time and it's most probably a family member or a close friend, you're going to lose that frequency. So keep that tune in your mind, and it's going to get you to the right rhythm. Otherwise, there's a lot of different apps that you can use that also have a tone that will actually beep every single time you must do the compressions. And also on the AEDs that we utilize, once you've pushed the start button, it's going to take you through the whole thing and it's going to give you a beat that you need to follow, which is set to exactly what you need. So I'm basically directly, my legs are right against the patient. I'm leaning directly over the patient. My arms are straight, and then I just do the compressions. And I'm going down 5 to 6 centimeters. There we go.
Staying alive.
Exactly.
Staying alive. I got it.
There we go.
Now, you look like you've lifted some weight in your days. How do you know you're not pressing too hard?
So you don't. So the bottom line is, as I've been doing it so much, I know pretty much where I want to go. And this dummy actually has a clicker, so that makes it much easier. But often when the layperson starts, within our emergency first aid responder course, we do enough of CPR to develop the muscle memory so that they get to the right depth. You know, it's often pretty sad when you arrive on a scene.
You don't want to do it too often if you're me.
Yeah. But you know, I think the bottom line is that we often arrive at households and, you know, the patient's been down for 5 to 10 minutes and you look at the CPR and you see it's not effective CPR.
Yeah.
The problem with CPR, it's got to be done 100% right from the beginning and you've got to maintain it. And that's why we say, you know, you shouldn't be doing CPR for longer than 2 minutes.
Yeah, and maybe you should have a defibrillator. Is the efficacy of the defibrillator, obviously it's better if you don't have experience like you do, but just compare the efficacy of CPR with the defibrillator.
They actually go hand in hand. So what you've got to remember is that we want to be compressing the heart. We want to be circulating oxygen.
Yes.
So that is keeping the brain alive and it's keeping the cardiac muscle alive. But also remember, I said that within the first 3 to 5 minutes, the predominant rhythm is ventricular fibrillation. That's pretty much where the heart is quivering. In other words, all the different muscles act as pacemaker sites, so it's unscrambled. And what you want to do is you actually want to it's basically a reset button with the defibrillator.
Are you just getting the muscle memory to come back into being then?
That's pretty much it, yeah. Yeah, so what you're doing is you're running some joules across the heart. It basically stuns all the different pacemaker sites that shouldn't actually be now in charge, because everybody takes over. You know how it goes in South Africa. Everyone wants to be in charge. The bottom line here is that by running a shock, literally it stops the heart, and then the SA node, which
is
your pacemaker site.
So much I want to get to. Just choking, in a nutshell, choking, how would you deal with that?
With efficiency. So the bottom line
with efficiency, and it's not something that you can.
It's something you can't.
Instinctively.
It has to happen immediately. Remember, if a patient is not getting oxygen, as I mentioned earlier, they're going to go into cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
So what you want to be doing is you want to clear the obstruction as quick as possible, and that's where your abdominal thrusts come in. And what you're doing is you're actually compressing the lungs so that the air that was in the lungs actually comes up and goes behind the object and hopefully forces it out.
That's actually a question in from a listener. We don't have time, unfortunately, to do more than that. But just for asking that question, there's a package with the compliments of Ventria life-saving equipment that you have just won. And if you can tell us just who's enabling, who's helping, which foundation is enabling, of course, Community Medics to do their work better and to reach more people that need this kind of service, just drop us a WhatsApp at 0725671567. You too can win that package with compliments of Ventria. Just again, Blake, your equipment is not just for professionals. I want to just be absolutely certain about that.
Yeah, correct. Our business is focused on providing the lay responder with the right equipment to possibly help save a life.
Okay, and then, Jackie, I think it's a rhetorical question, but I'm going to ask it nonetheless. Why?
Why?
Why this amazing support that you give organization? I see it's targeted. It's about access to the kind of healthcare that you may need from time to time.
So primary healthcare is of the utmost importance, and the Dis-Chem Foundation do a lot of it. We recently opened up an inner city clinic in Johannesburg, in Tshwane actually, which is amazing. So it's always about taking healthcare and primary healthcare and assistance to the communities that are in need, and something that community medics do very well that hasn't been brought to the fore, which is why we're also so invested in them and with them, is that it doesn't have to be anybody of means, albeit they may not have medical aid, but it might just be a homeless person on the street that they too will respond to, and that is absolutely critical. So that's very important to us, and one of the main reasons we invest with them as well.
Okay, so yeah, get those WhatsApp messages in, and you could have that life-saving equipment at hand and at home. And I see that WhatsApp line is absolutely filling up. You know, we're going to wrap with Kevin. What is exciting is that you're teaching people skills that they are going to be able to employ for the rest of their lives. And there's a discipline that comes with that.
Absolutely. So Community Medics actually runs what we call the Emergency First Aid Responder Program. That's EFAR for short. That is actually developed by the Western Cape Government EMS Service, of which we became one of their service providers. And what we do is we're trying to achieve that when somebody witnesses a cardiac arrest, that effective CPR started within 2 minutes. And we've got success stories. We've had cases where a woman walked out of our course on a Saturday, and Tuesday saw a lady collapse at Century City. And she just said, "I just heard Kevin's voice. Patient, unconscious, not breathing, CPR." And went through the motion and immediately managed to actually get return of spontaneous circulation. So everything that we do is being reinvested in the community to save lives.
Kevin, just maybe a touch point. How can people be part of this success journey with you?
Okay, so the easiest is there's a lot of, I think, go to our website,
www.communitymedics.org.za. Communitymedics.org.za.
There we go.
Maybe I should just extend that request to Blake. Grace as well, CEO of Ventria Life Saving Equipment. Now that we know how important it is, where do we find it?
Yeah, Ventria.co.za, Ventria.co.za, or give us a call and we can walk you through what we offer.
Of course, all of this equipment also available at a Dis-Chem. Maybe a closing word to you, Jackie.
Yeah.
Yes, some of Blake's unbelievable equipment is available in the Dis-Chem stores, which can save lives at home as well. It all comes down for me to the Dis-Chem Foundation, and great thanks to Blake for coming on board with us. And of course, thank you, Kevin, to you and your incredible team.
No, thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, Blake, for telling us about your products and your service. And I think, Jackie, thank you to the Dis-Chem Foundation for just making the work of amazing organizations like Kevin's Community Medics known to us. It is appreciated. Hopefully we can get aboard and assist team to deliver even more so.
Fantastic. Thank you for having us.
It is 11:01. We've got to go to news in a short while. Did you know that every time you swipe your Dis-Chem or Dis-Chem Baby City benefit card, you're contributing towards the Dis-Chem Foundation? The foundation works closely with registered NGOs to help improve the lives of struggling communities. Recent support initiatives include feeding programs, community gardens, providing access to clean